The tank ruptures without warning. 1 second there is operating pressure. The next there is a concussive crack inside the garage, and a 12-gallon compressor tank that started fine this morning is a split metal vessel with a disc of its wall embedded in the drywall 6 inches above where someone was standing, the shop owner who showed me the damage. A guy who had run that compressor every week for 4 years told me he had never once opened the drain valve. Not once. The machine started clean every morning and held pressure, and there was never a reason to look closer. The rust was building the whole time in standing moisture at the bottom of the tank. And because the valve was never cracked, the conversation happening inside that tank stayed private until the tank finished it. A pressure vessel does not negotiate. At 130 psi, the stored mechanical energy in a 12-gallon tank is not a tool problem when containment fails. It is a physics problem, and those physics do not care how many jobs that machine has run successfully. That morning cost the owner a new compressor, a new drywall section, and a reckoning he told me he wished had happened 4 years earlier, and 10 minutes at a time. We are going to make sure that morning stays his. 3 weeks before that conversation, I was servicing a corded drill that had been running rough across 2 sessions. When I pulled the brush cap, the small slotted plug on the side of the motor housing, pencil eraser diameter on most mid-range brush tools, the right side brush was down to just over 3/16 of an inch. Minimum serviceable length before spring pressure can no longer maintain clean commutator. Contact is 1/4 inch. That drill was one long ceiling run from bare metal touching commutator. Contact is 1/4 inch. That drill was one long ceiling run from bare metal touching commutator. Around the brush cap vent, there was the usual ring of gray-black carbon dust, and at the outer edge of it, a very faint bluish shimmer. I swept it clean and replaced the brush. The weekly maintenance routine I am walking you through covers 3 tools, the drill, the angle grinder, and the air compressor. 20 minutes combined, done consistently, and the tools that should last a decade actually will. Skip it long enough, and the failure always comes at the worst possible time, which is to say, during a job, not between jobs. Start with the drill. 3 inspection points. The vent slots, the chuck, and the brushes. The vent slots along the motor housing are the tool's only airflow path. They are not decorative detail cut into the plastic. They are the mechanism by which the motor dissipates heat continuously during operation. Most mid-range brush drill motors are designed for continuous use within a thermal envelope that tops out between 120 and 135 degrees Celsius at the winding. Run the motor consistently above that range, and the insulation on the winding begins to degrade at the molecular level, not visibly, not with any drama, just brittleness accumulating across heat cycles. The drill still turns. It still feels like it has torque. But the insulation is shortening the clock on a tool that had years of work left in it, and the first you will know about it is the day the motor shorts mid-hole with no warning and no obvious preceding event. Clearing the vents correctly means compressed air delivered at an angle across the slot face, not straight through it. Straight through blasts push back debris deeper into the housing past the vent guard. Angle delivery moves material out and away from the motor interior. For debris that has compacted under weeks of vibration and shop humidity, a worn, soft, bristled chip brush swept across the vent opening works better than compressed air alone. The bristles loosen compacted material without forcing it inward, and on slots narrow enough that an air blast simply splits around the packing, the brush is the only tool that actually clears it. After the vents, work the chuck. Open it all the way under direct light, and check the jaw faces. They should be clean and moving freely across their full travel, with no grit in the thread channels. 1 drop of light machine oil on the jaw threads, cycled in by opening and closing the chuck 8 to 10 times. Wipe the excess. Grit in the chuck jaws causes bit seating offset. The bit runs slightly off-center. That offset translates into wobble at the tip and lateral stress on the chuck mechanism across the full length of every drilling session. A keyless chuck replacement on a mid-range corded drill costs between $15 and $40 and requires a service call. The drop of oil and 90 seconds of your time costs nothing. Pull the brush cap and check the carbon. 1/4 inch of brush length is the minimum before spring tension can no longer maintain consistent commutator contact. Brushes in this tool class typically last between 60 and 100 hours of actual runtime under load. Shorter in heavy applications like drywall screw driving, longer in light assembly work. Replace before minimum, not after. A brush set costs between $3 and $8. The commutator damage from running bare metal against it costs the tool entirely, and a mid-range corded drill in regular trade use costs between $90 and $160. That math runs in one direction only. Run the drill unloaded for 20 seconds before it goes back in the bag. A healthy brush motor at speed has a smooth, even tone to it. There is a clean, almost harmonic consistency to the sound. A motor carrying early brush wear, bearing fatigue, or the beginnings of winding irregularity produces a slightly raspy version of that tone, a texture underneath the main frequency that was not there 6 months ago. It is not loud. It does not sound like a problem until you know what you are listening for. Once you have heard enough motors at that stage, you recognize the difference the way you recognize the sound of a tire going low versus one that is already flat. That window between the two sounds is where the repair is still worth making. Now the grinder, and here is where I tell you the mistake that wrote the storage rule I follow today. It is a summer of concrete work, joint grinding, formed slab edges, long grinding sessions every day. At the end of each session, I lock the spindle, leave the disc mounted, and set the grinder against the wall. It saves 2 minutes of setup in the morning. I do that every working day for 6 weeks straight. On the morning of week 7, I pick the grinder up, mount it, run it up to speed, and there is a wobble in the disc I did not put there with a bad disc. It is in the flange. I run it down. I check the disc. Fine. I remount it with a fresh disc from the rack. Same wobble. The flange face is slightly dished. 6 weeks of the disc's weight resting under sustained clamping pressure with the spindle lock engaged every night, and the machined flange surface has yielded. Not dramatically, gradually. Just enough. Here is why flange geometry is a safety specification and not a precision preference. An angle grinder running a 4.5-inch Type 27 disc at 11,000 RPM distributes stress through the disc based on the assumption of flat, even clamping on a true axis. Change the flange geometry, and you change the stress distribution across the disc body at speed. A disc rated for those operating conditions is rated under correct mounting specs. A disc running on a compromised flange is not covered by that rating. When a grinding disc fails under those conditions, it does not stop. It fragments. A fragmenting abrasive disc at 11,000 RPM moves at a velocity that eye protection alone is not designed to stop. The replacement cost of a flange assembly in this class runs between $12 and $18. That is the full financial exposure on the correct side of this lesson. Store grinders with the disc removed. Every time the disc hangs on the wall or a peg, the grinder sits on the bench with the spindle unloaded. 30 seconds per session, and it is non-negotiable. Spin the spindle by hand after every significant session, once the tool has cooled. What you are feeling for is roughness that comes from inside the bearing, a subtle gritty drag, a slight catch at one point in the rotation that is not about the disc mount interface. Grinder bearings in the mid-range trade class typically survive between 80 and 120 hours of actual cutting time under load. When you first feel that internal roughness, you have roughly 10 to 15 hours of remaining use before the bearing condition begins to affect disc geometry measurably at speed. That window is yours. The question is whether you are there to feel it when it opens. That faint blue shimmer in the carbon dust from the drill brush, that is the right moment to revisit it because the compressor section is going to make the same pattern legible from a different angle. Standard motor brush deposits are dark gray to charcoal in color, fine, even textured, the color of soft pencil lead. That is the signature of a brush wearing against a commutator at design-appropriate operating temperature. The bluish shimmer at the outer edge of a deposit is a different thermal profile. It is carbon partially oxidizing at a temperature above what standard operation generates. Not sparking, not a crisis on its own, but a clear indicator that the motor has been running in a thermal band above its design optimum, most commonly because vent blockage has been restricting airflow across multiple sessions. That motor may have serviceable brushes and an intact commutator, or it may have been accumulating winding stress across enough heat cycles that the remaining service life has already contracted in ways not yet visible. The shimmer does not tell you which situation you are in. It tells you the question is worth asking before a deadline does. The compressor closes this, and we start here because the stakes are highest. Drain the tank every week. valve at the bottom, compressor off, pressure bled to zero, discharge pointed away from people and electrical equipment. Light, tan moisture in small quantity is normal condensation from atmospheric humidity and compressed air. Brown water in any quantity is active iron oxide chemistry on the interior tank wall. Brown water in volume, more than a few tablespoons, is a tank that has been corroding actively and long enough that continuing to run it at operating pressure without a professional inspection is a decision with consequences that cannot always be walked back. A 20-gallon job site replacement compressor costs between $200 and $400. A piece of tank wall at 130 PSI moving through a garage is a different category of cost. Service the intake filter monthly or more often in dusty environments. A packed intake filter forces the motor to work harder per build cycle, raising run temperature and extending cycle time, both of which compound into accelerated motor wear over months. Filter elements in this class cost between $4 and $12. On belt-driven units, check belt tension monthly. Half inch of deflection under moderate thumb pressure at the midpoint of the longest belt span. Too loose and the belt glazes under load, generating heat and losing power transfer. Too tight, and the motor shaft bearing takes load beyond its rated tolerance. Both conditions accelerate failure and both correct in under 5 minutes with a wrench. Listen to the motor on startup every session. 30 seconds. A healthy compressor motor starts, settles cleanly into its running tone without hunting, and holds that tone evenly through the build cycle. A motor that hesitates at startup, that has developed a roughness changing as it warms, or that runs noticeably longer per cycle for the same demand, is in a conversation you should join before a job deadline joins it for you. 20 minutes a week, vent slots cleared, chuck oiled, brushes checked and noted for color, spindle spun by hand, disc off the grinder at storage, tank drained, filter clean, belt tension confirmed. Motor tone noted on startup. These are not dramatic interventions. They are the habits that separate the tradespeople who retire their tools on their own terms from the ones who lose them during a job that was already running tight. The shop owner with the rust disc in his drywall had every tool he needed to prevent that morning. The drain valve was always there. The moisture was always building. The tank was sending its message every single week. Nobody ever told him it needed reading. So here is the question I keep coming back to. Was that failure his, or does it belong to a trade culture that hands people dangerous equipment and never builds the maintenance education in?